Hi there, this is Lon Solomon, and I'd like to welcome you to our program today. You know, it's a tremendous honor that God has given us to be on stations all around the nation, bringing the truth of God's Word as it is, uncompromising and straightforward. And I'm so glad you've tuned in to listen and be part of that. Thanks again for your support and your generosity that keeps us on the radio. And now, let's get to the Word of God.
How did we get to the place in America where homosexual marriage is legally recognized? How did we get to the place in America where abortion on demand is our accepted national policy? How did we get to the place in America where a teacher in the public schools can talk about Satan worship, witchcraft, Islam, the New Age movement, Eastern religions, and voodoo in the classroom, but that very same teacher, if he were to mention or she were to mention the Bible and Jesus Christ, could lose their job? How have we gotten to the place in America where the morality and the discipline has so deteriorated in our public schools that many of them need metal detectors and armed policemen patrolling the hallways? How have we gotten to the place in America where sex education programs in public schools can demonstrate the right way to put a condom on to 14-year-old young people, where in those classrooms they can declare homosexuality to be an acceptable lifestyle, they can bring in gay and lesbian speakers to promote that lifestyle, and yet abstinence hardly gets a mention? How have we gotten to the place in America where premarital sex is so accepted in our colleges and universities that free condoms are provided on hallway bulletin boards in every dorm, like they are at Johns Hopkins University, where my son is a student? I've been there to visit him in the dorm, and I've seen the condoms on the bulletin board. How have we gotten to the place in America where at the United States Air Force Academy just this past week, the number two commander, Brigadier General Johnny Wieda, was forced to apologize for having told cadets that they are accountable, quote, first to their God, and he was also forced to apologize for allowing the cadets to sing God Bless America in a public meeting? How is it at the U.S. Air Force Academy that the football coach last week was forced to apologize for leading the team in a prayer before they ran out onto the field? How is it at the U.S. Air Force Academy that a chaplain was reprimanded for, in a church service, telling the students that were there, the cadets, that they should reach out to their non-Christian cadet friends and try to invite them to church? He was reprimanded for that, and he didn't say it in the mess hall, he said it in a church service. How have we gotten to the place in America today where the divorce rate is so out of control that every single year over 1 million American children see their parents divorce? How have we gotten to the place in America where the American flag can be burned on public property, but on that same public property, it is illegal to put up the Ten Commandments? And how have we gotten to the place in America where we overspend so badly that our national debt is in the trillions of dollars, endangering not only our future, but the future of our children's children? Now, whose fault is it that we are where we are today in America? Well, some people would say, I know whose fault it is. It's the fault of the ACLU. That's whose fault it is. Or it's the fault of the National Organization of Women. Or it's the fault of Barry Lynn and the Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. By the way, they were the ones who filed the complaint at the U.S. Air Force Academy. Some people would say, well, it's the fault of NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League, or it's the fault of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, or it's the fault of the National Education Association. But friends, I'm here to tell you that I believe the fault for where we are in America today lies with none of these people. I believe that the fault lies with the church in America. I believe the church in America is to blame for where we are spiritually and morally in America today. And let me tell you why I say that. I say that because historically here in America, the church once occupied a position of almost complete cultural dominance. a position from which the church was able to exert a unique influence over all of American society. But the church has forfeited that role. We have forfeited that position. You know as well as I do today in America that what the church says makes very little difference anymore. When it comes to public policy, when it comes to popular opinion, it doesn't matter. What we say is virtually dismissed out of hand. Now, how did this happen? How did we lose this role in American society we once had? Well, I'll tell you, I think there are three things that explain it. Number one, I believe it happened partly because the church lost the position of moral authority to speak to this culture. We lost it due to corruption and greed and unchristlike, ungodly behavior among church leaders here in America. We lost it, second of all, partly because the church drifted into liberal theology, the result of which is that the many churches in America have become the allies, not the enemies, but the allies of these people who are seeking to undermine biblical morality in our society. I mean, look at Barry Lynn of the Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. He is a reverend. He is ordained by the United Churches of Christ in America, and he still retains his status as an ordained minister in that church. My point, I think, is proven. And finally, we lost that position, third, partly because the evangelical church in America, us, we who did not compromise or go liberal in our doctrine, but we nonetheless lost the focus to do our job. The evangelical church in America over the last 50 years has become so interested in church growth and in being seeker-friendly, and in political correctness, and in not offending anybody, and in carrying on dialogue with every group under the sun, and in allowing preachers to self-promote themselves into national figures, we have done so much of that that we have lost our focus, and we have become distracted from doing what God called us to do here in the United States of America. And don't get me wrong. I believe that a church can be seeker-friendly and at the same time cannot compromise and water down the truth of God's Word. We've been doing it here for 15 years. But there are a lot of churches who don't agree with that, and so they have sacrificed the truth of God's Word on the altar of trying to reach out to seekers, which I don't believe you need to do, and which we have no business doing. Now you say, okay, Lon, okay, take a breath, will you? Take a breath up there. I mean, I hear what you're saying, Lon. Okay, but you know, to take the fault for where we are morally and spiritually in America today and to lay almost all, if not all, of that fault at the feet of the churches in America, I mean, don't you think that's going just a little bit too far? Well, no, I don't. Let me tell you why. I want you to follow this little syllogistic logic that I have for you, a little bit of if-then logic. Here we go. If the churches in America were fearlessly and faithfully standing for biblical truth, then we would be training people in the pews of those churches to see life with a biblical worldview. If the tens of millions of Americans who were sitting in church pews this morning were trained to see life with a biblical worldview, then they would vote for politicians who had a biblical worldview. If these millions of Americans went out and voted for politicians with a biblical worldview, then politicians with a biblical worldview would get elected. And if politicians with a biblical worldview were getting elected at every level of American government, then these people would be sponsoring and passing laws that were based on a biblical worldview, which would mean that homosexual marriage would not be legal in America, which would mean that abortion on demand would not be legal in America, which would mean that easy divorce would not be available in America, which would mean that condom demonstrations would not be going on in the public classrooms of America. And it would mean that we could post the Ten Commandments anywhere we felt like putting them up. It would mean we could sing God Bless America anywhere we felt like singing it. And it would probably mean that Terry Schiavo would be alive today. Because those politicians would have nominated and confirmed judges who would have interpreted the law from a biblical point of view. Now, I'm not the only person who thinks this. In fact, I actually have an ally in William Raspberry, editorial writer for the Washington Post. He wrote an article, an editorial entitled The Moral Center. And in this article, he talks about a 7-foot-tall basketball player playing small, as he calls it. That is, standing way outside and shooting 3-point shots instead of coming right under the basket where he could exploit his height advantage. And then Mr. Raspberry says this, and I quote. He said, "I thought about this advantage-wasting giant a short while ago when I had occasion to speak to the annual council of the Episcopal Church in America." Why, he says? Because it aptly describes the church in America, endlessly involved in things that other agencies might do just as well, but neglecting the position that it, the church, is uniquely qualified to hold, namely the moral center. The point, he says, is not to criticize churches that run nursery schools, but to caution them that their more important work is the inculcation of moral values. Now, he says, "I know that this must seem a strange message coming from a not particularly religious writer in an utterly secular newspaper." Duh. Yeah. "But," he says, "I am increasingly struck by the growing sense that America's major failings are not political or economic, but moral." And he concludes by saying, "Shouldn't organized religion take the lead in doing this, in being the moral center for our nation?" Now, friends, if God were able to answer Mr. Raspberry, he would say, "Sir, you are exactly right." And that's exactly what I told the church to do. And may I remind you, friends, that here in America, if we fail as the church, if we cave in as the church, there is no one else left. There's nobody behind us. We are the last bastion of morality and decency left in this country. Now, how are we going to fulfill that responsibility? Well, I've got 4 suggestions for you, and then I'm done this morning. 4 suggestions about how we can be the moral center, the moral anchor for the people here in Washington and the people around this nation. Suggestion number 1, if we want to be the moral anchor that God called us to be for this country, then number 1, we need to lead as many Americans as possible to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me tell you why. Friends, the reason is the only way to authentically transform American society is not by social reform, it's not by economic parity, it's not by moral crusading, but by leading people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. This is why Paul wrote to Timothy here in 2 Timothy 4. And he didn't say to him, "Timothy, do the work of a reformer." He didn't say, "Timothy, do the work of a legislator." He didn't say, "Timothy, do the work of a moral crusader or a political activist." What did he say? He said, "Timothy, do the work of an evangelist." Because when a person's relationship to God changes, their worldview changes. And when their worldview changes, their value system changes. And when their value system changes, their behavior changes, and the kind of society they want to build changes. You know, 35 years ago, when I was in college, the kind of society I wanted to build was radically different than the kind I'm looking to build today. In fact, I'll even show you a picture of what I looked like 35 years ago in college. And let me tell you what kind of society I wanted to build back then. I wanted to build a society where you could smoke marijuana on the street corners without worrying about the police coming up. I wanted to build a society where you could drop LSD anytime you felt like and it was legal. I wanted to build a society where we disbanded the military and we all went and lived in communes together. Now, that's not the kind of society I want to build anymore. And let me tell you what changed. What changed is not my politics. What changed is not my economic situation. What changed is not that I met some moral reformer. What changed is that I met Jesus Christ. That's what changed. And he changed my life. Friends, listen. A moral society is built by moral individuals. A moral society is built by moral individuals, and the best way to make moral individuals is to make them new creatures in Jesus Christ. And the church is the only institution in America that can help be people with this kind of moral transformation that comes from the inside out. Here at McLean Bible Church, we are committed to doing this. It's one of our very core values, number 9, that our church must have an evangelistic impact on our community. We're out to lead every single person in Washington to Jesus Christ. And if we succeed, we will change this city and change this country. Number 2, second suggestion about how we can be a moral center and anchor for America is number 2, by faithfully holding up God's truth, the Bible, before American society. Remember what Paul said to Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Friends, the greatest service that we as the church in America can perform for this nation is for us to preach and teach and promote biblical truth at all times. For us to be absolutely unflappable about this, no waffling, no watering it down, no political correctness, and no cowardice. Now, if you remember, I started the little syllogism I gave you earlier, if then, if then, if then, by saying, if the church in America were fearlessly and faithfully standing for biblical truth, but I need to tell you actually, excuse me, there's a premise. There's an if-then that goes before that. Let me go back and pick it up. If the preachers in America were preaching God's word fearlessly and faithfully, then the church in America would be fearlessly and faithfully standing up for God's word. Folks, everything starts with the pulpits in America. You cannot build a strong church on an anemic pulpit. It cannot be done. George Whitefield, leader of the Great Awakening, 1740, 1770, here in the United States, a man who traveled and preached in the open air and led tens of thousands of colonists to a personal relationship with Christ. Here's what he said, observing the churches of his day, and I quote, he said, the reason that the churches today of America have so many dead men sitting in them is because they have dead men preaching to them. End of quote. Now, sadly, hundreds of years later, I'd like to suggest that across the thousands of churches of America, if George Whitefield were here today, he'd have to conclude the same sad thing. Now, I can't control what happens in all the churches of America. But you know what? I do have some control over what happens in this church. And friends, by God's grace, I want to say to you, as long as I'm the pastor of this church, every time we here at McLean Bible Church open our mouths in Washington, D.C., whether we open our mouths on radio, television, in the Washington Post or the Washington Times, whenever we open our mouths in Washington, I am committed that what's going to come out of our mouth is God's truth, God's whole truth, and nothing but God's truth, whether it's popular in Washington or whether it isn't. That's what we're going to do here. Folks, this is our responsibility to this city, to be a lighthouse of biblical truth to this city. And as long as I'm the pastor here, we are not going to lose our focus. We are not going to get distracted. And we are not going to compromise and abdicate on that responsibility. So help me God. Now, suggestion number 3. If we want to be a moral center for our nation and our city, then third, we need to be training our young people up in the moral absolutes of the Word of God. Right before Paul said what he did in 2 Timothy 4, he said this in chapter 3. He said, but you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned, For from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. From a child, he was saturated with the word of God. Fourth and finally, if we want to be the moral anchor and the moral center for our nation, then number four, as the church, we need to support political candidates that stand for biblical values. Folks, listen, nothing is more helpful in our struggle to restore moral values and moral equilibrium to America than to have allies in the political arena. And it is scandalous. It is scandalous how poorly we as Christians mobilize ourselves to get these men and women into office. You know all those liberal groups I mentioned to you earlier? The National Organization of Women, the ACLU, the Americans United, the Gay and Lesbian Tales. You know all those folks? Friends, listen. They do not have enough supporters to elect one single person in any district of America if everybody sitting in the churches in that same district went out and voted for a candidate who had biblical values. They could not elect one single person. So explain to me how, when we look at the legislatures on the local level and our state legislatures and the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate, explain to me how all these liberal people got there. I'm telling you how. It's because we as followers of Christ did not go out and do our job at the polls. That's how they got there. And if we're serious about being the moral anchor that we need to be for America, we have got to get serious about electing politicians at every level of government who see the Bible as we see it, who believe the Bible, and who are committed to passing laws based on biblical morality of right and wrong. And you know what? We could do that. There would be nobody who could stand in any district in America if everybody who went to church in that district turned out and voted for biblical candidates. There you go. Now, let me conclude by saying this. Is America doomed? I don't believe so. Is America's time up? I don't believe so. Friends, there's a reason why we got to where we are today, and the church is at the center of the problem. I believe if we as the church take our responsibility seriously, we can correct our mistake, and over the next 50 years, we can correct America's problems. We can do it. Won't happen in a day, won't happen in a week. Took us 50 years to get where we are, and we can get back there. But it's going to mean, number one, that we've got to get serious about leading as many people as we can to Christ in this land. Number two, we've got to faithfully hold up the truth of God's word, whether people like it or not. We've got to, number three, train young people, a whole new generation, in the moral absolutes of the word of God. And number four, we as individual Christians have got to support political candidates that stand for biblical values. And I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, and I do not know what the future is for America. Maybe God is going to take us down. You know what? I don't believe that, but even if that's true, I say let's go with our guns smoking as the church. What do you say? Let's go down with our guns smoking. And let's do our job here in the United States of America. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would continue to show mercy to America. Continue to forgive us. And Lord, continue in your kindness to give us the time as the church to recapture our position of authority and turn this nation around for the glory of Jesus Christ. Lord, do this, I pray, for your honor and your name in this country. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to So What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, lonsolomonministries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website or call us at 866-788-7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, so what?